A tiny little village called Sam Number Two, sometimes called the Shaft, but its real name was Fairley. I came here in 1904 at the age of 3 months, when my father helped sink the mine, which provided work for some 10 or 12 families. I travelled on foot for 2.5 miles through a lonely bush track to reach the nearest school, which was Westwall's End. On school days, all met at our gate and waited patiently for my sister and brother and I to appear. As I was the only curly-headed one, more time was spent inspecting my head more closely, and they frequently set off without me, which made me very nervous, and I ran all the way. I suppose I slowed down to cross a narrow fallen log over Slaty Creek. It was only full of water after heavy rain, but one day I fell in, but the heavy winter clothing kept me afloat till I reached safety. The news soon got around, and the mine manager arranged for men to take time off from work. And they felled a much, much larger tree, flattened it out, complete with steel wire, handrail. My earliest memories of the teachers, as nil, really, of the early part of my school life, the only vivid memory I have of it was Miss Mattie Ling, a dedicated teacher who gave us a love of poetry and of music. She selected 5 of us for extra tuition after school and again at night at her boarding house in Carrington Street. When she realised our only chance to get to college was to try to obtain the intermediate certificate, which meant doing 3 years' work in 6 months, and all 5 received scholarships. Luckily, there was a short term 1 year introduced at the Sydney Teachers College. I wonder how many students realise that teachers do homework and get marks for work, which determines their salaries and their position on the staff. And you may be sure that Miss Mattie Ling was well rewarded for her efforts on our behalf in shaping our lives as she left Westwall's End for Sydney to a very high position in the department. History is made by ordinary people like us who want to do something and go out and do it. One such teacher, who was mistress at Westwall's Infant School, wanted to make a contribution to art in the schools, and she went out and formed the Sun Art Show and was largely responsible for that, and I think a lot of the groundwork was done at Westwall's End Infants for the Newcastle Sun Art Show. I retired in 1969 after 48 years in the education department, and for 3 years did nothing with my life, a wasted existence really. However, just as I thought that I'd outlived my usefulness, I founded where old friends meet, a club for elderly and lonely people for the aged in our area, now in its 14th year. So it's really a success, and I think that I too could say that I have made history. For family reasons, I came to live at Harmsville long before the mine closed and it became a ghost town. But I frequently went back for holidays. In fact, I spent all my school holidays there. And when I was about as old as you are now, I nursed 2 families through the pneumonic flu that was raging at the time and killing thousands.
Did you catch it?
I was about 15. We had a fuel stove and you had nothing else, no electricity, and each one in turn had to gather up this, get the morning sticks, light the fire. But when I started to study seriously, I was exempt from that.
Lucky. Do you think the co-op store at Westie brought people together?
Big one?
The co-op store at Westie, do you think they brought people together?
I don't think so. We had money in the store. I don't know that it brought... Oh, yeah. when they got their dividends there, they'd get together because they all, you know, you get the dividend. They'd all go out that day to spend their dividends.
Oh.
But I never had the handling of it. Your parents had did that, so it didn't affect us in any way.
How were people affected in the Depression?
All people.
How were they affected?
Well, I think they had a happy enough time. I know they used to run dances and charge sixpence and have a cup of tea at it, and I never went to them, but...
How were you affected?
How was I affected?
Yeah, with the Depression.
I don't think I felt it much. I always seemed to get what I wanted. Didn't want much, but I got what I wanted, I think.
Was unemployment high in the
area? You had to wait till the change of the bill to get a pencil or a rubber. That did affect me that way because, see, the parents had no money, and if you want ask for something, they'd say, wait until the turn of the leaf. Well, that was the day what you bought went on the next bill. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So you had to wait until you get... That affected me in that way. You had to wait until you... till the turn of the leap, they called it. At the end of the fortnight, it meant. And that fortnight was finished and it'd be on your...
Your next fortnight bill.
Of course, when you're young, you think you go to the store and you put them on the bill and you don't have to pay for them. But I never did anything wrong, but some of the people did. Some of them did, I think. But young children. And I don't tell you about something about that. Can't think what was going out of my head now.
Was unemployment high in the area?
Big one.
Was unemployment high in the area?
Oh, yes. Well, they had strikes and, you know, they went, you know, Mr. Lambert would tell you all that. I think they went 19 weeks without a strike. It did affect me when I was younger. I said to my mother one night, we were sitting talking, and I said, well, were you ever hungry? And she said, we were only hungry once, and she couldn't tell all the others in the village would be in the same position. And being of independent nature like me, I suppose, she wouldn't ask any of them for anything. So she had a friend at Northville. You know, this is where Northville is,
don't
you?
I live there.
Well, you know where it is. And she said, well, I've got a friend at Northville, Mrs. Wilson, I think her name was. And she said, I'll take her over to you. She'll surely give you a piece of something to eat. It was all hot weather, very, very hot weather. I think it was in January. And we set off, the three of us, to walk from Seam Number 2, which was about 3 miles or more, I suppose. And when we got there, Mrs. Wilson was out. So we had to turn around and go back home. And I remember my mother saying, the three of us cried all the way home because we were hungry. But that's the only time I've ever been hungry.
Was the School of the Arts at Westie important place? Important meeting
School
place?
Of Arts.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they had dances there. And during the war years, they had what they called a girls' club to raise money, you know, for the war effort. Dances were held there. Yes, I'd say it was very important. But we had a School of Arts at Holmesville as well. That's where the miners congregated each night after tea. They had an early tea, being a miner, those days. And they had to come home and bath in a tub. I don't know of anyone that had a bath room with a good bath, a big bath. They just bathed in a round tub. Somebody had to scrub their back. And then when they had their tea, they all congregated at the Holmesville School of Arts. And they only stayed there till about 9 o'clock because they had to go to work the next day. When there was work, you had to sit and wait for the whistle before you knew whether there was any work or not. When the whistle blew, there was work.
What was it like during the World War II?
I wasn't here then. I wasn't living here then. I was right away.
Do you remember any buildings that don't exist today?
That don't exist today?
Yeah.
Oh, parts of the store have closed down, haven't they?
Are there any...
There was a bicycle shop at the foot of the hill, Mr. and Mrs. Mason, Fred Mason ran that, and that's closed up.
Are there any other events that you can recall in this area?
Well, all the events that happened, Sunday school picnics and so on, were all those held down at Spears Point Park. They all, so you had to catch two trams to the crossroads, and then again to Spears Point, and that's where everybody went for most of their outings.
In what ways has the district changed over the years?
I don't see much change in it. Change in the people perhaps, but not in the district. People are coming and going in this street all the time, and you just get to know them, and then they move out and somebody else moves in.
Mr. Hayes said something that you used to play the piano.
Who?
Mr. Hayes said that you used to play the piano for a picture man or something.
Mr. Hayes?
Yeah.
Our teacher
told us that you used to play the piano.
Your teacher said that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I turned 19, teachers are sent to the country. Well, they get a move of somewhere, and they sent me up to Woodburn. And I couldn't have had a very good geography teacher, because at the time I didn't know where Woodburn was until I looked it up on the map. But my mother said, oh, that's just down near Gosford. And she got mixed up with Woodbine, and she said, you'll be able to come home every weekend. Oh, she was up in the clouds to think that I hadn't to go so far away. But when we looked it up on the map, it was 500 or 600 miles away up the North Coast. And while I was there, I wasn't there very long. When there were silent pictures those days, and Miss Jean Davies played for the pictures, Woodburn pictures, and one night she came running down to my boarding house and she said, I want you to, will you play for me tonight? My mother's very ill and I can't play. I said, I couldn't. And she said, oh yes you can, you just don't have to stop. So couldn't do anything else. I'd only just played an extra for a dancer. I was no musician at all. And so I got a sheet of cardboard and ripped it off the back of a writing pad, and I wrote down all the tunes I knew and could play with that. I never had no music with me, so I went off and played it, and I was paid 25 shillings. And I never heard any complaints. If there were complaints, I never heard about them, but I think in those days people weren't critical, they just watched the picture and enjoyed it, because there's nothing else until the talkies came in. Well, then the next week, the very next week, I was moved to Coffs Harbour. I'm not like that teacher at Bega that wouldn't go. I just packed up and went the next day. It always says report immediately at your next school. So I went to Coffs Harbour, and the lady that played the piano there, I think she married. I'm not sure what happened to her, but there they were stuck, and I was roped in. I didn't want to do it. I was roped in to do that there, and I used to play both the picture shows. Well, the man that owned the picture show was a Mr. Lawrence Penn, and they made a picture of his life, life story, and he went into talkies after that. The first talkie I saw was called Mother Knows Best, and I didn't want to be a teacher. All I wanted to be was a waitress. But my mother had made up her mind from the time I was born that I was going to be a school teacher, because she called me after a school teacher that lived opposite her at Argentine, behind, well, I was born behind the sulphide works, and she called me after the school teacher, and she made up her mind there and then. So I suppose Mother Knows Best was the name of this picture, so I suppose she knows best. I had three choices. I could have gone in, I won a scholarship to Stratton Horse Business College, and I could have gone in for public servants, as a public servant, or teaching, but my mother chose for me. And but I'm sure they won't be interested in all that.
Well, I was. Would you like to play piano for us for a while?
Did
you like to play something for us?
Play something for us.